Chapter 10.
Chapter Management. New book. Risk Management. Okay. And I have a little handout.
Thank you. Are you going to give us the parameters of our final paper?
Yes, I will.
Good.
So, on page 119, on page chapter 10, under risk management, it says, to understand the role of risk management in healthcare delivery system, it's imperative to understand all terminology. Risk management is defined as the Federation of American Hospitals Malpractice Subcommittee is assistant for risk management is the identification, analysis, and evaluation of risks and the selection of the most advantageous method for treating it, the risk. This is essentially synonymous to safety and loss prevention, total loss control management. A risk management program should be a totally integrated program involving employee safety, patient safety, visitor safety, fire safety, security, and in other words, a total process of a safety program. Okay? This definition is as accurate as 1994 as it was written in 1977. However, there are additional terms relevant to the management of risk and safety. Professional medical liability is the risk management buzzword of the 90s. Professional medical liability. Once known as medical negligence and malpractice, this new term more clearly defines the outcome of the risk event. Although the name for the event has not changed, negligence and malpractice is still the underlying risk issue. For example, when appropriate care is not given, the medical negligence or malpractice may be the risk issue. But the responsible party or parties are liable for their conduct. The outcome of this example identifies the professional medical liability. So you got to think about if there are risks and you take risks and you do something that's not within your scope and you do something that harms the patient, that you could be held liable for those actions. It's important for every facility to identify individuals who have the responsibility of reviewing actions that may pose a potential risk to that institution. Therefore, it's necessary to identify the purpose or goals for risk management and to identify, by example, how risk could occur. So, the role of risk management. The risk management plays an important role in maintaining quality patient care while conserving the institution's financial resources. Oh, we want to make sure that the institution doesn't get sued and loses money. Okay, that would be bad. Okay. Elements that affect the risk management process include the incident, the loss potential, and the cost. So an incident is any happening that is not consistent with the routine care of a particular patient. Every incident does not have the same outcome, but all incidents should be evaluated in terms of loss potential. Although not all incidents result in injury or damage, all incidents should be investigated. So whatever this event that happened, that would have been the incident. Loss potential refers to any activity that costs the facility money or its good name reputation. Cost to the facility could be related to additional charges for care of the patient, which may be unrecoverable. Okay? So costs are things that you're going to have to pay out to cover the bad thing that happened, and you're not going to get that money back, so it's unrecoverable. For example, a patient comes to the department because of abdominal pain. While on the x-ray table, the patient's finger is cut or smashed by your bucky tray. Okay, put your hands, all hands, inside the car at all times. Okay, don't let them hang over and then slam the bucky tray in and cut off their finger. In most cases, the facility has a policy procedure to follow in the event of an injury to a patient. So if you did accidentally slam somebody's finger into the bucky tray, it starts bleeding all over. What would you do?
Fill out an incident.
You'd have to fill out an incident report. Probably the first thing would be to do a little first aid on their chopped off finger, give them a band-aid or, you know, treat it. And then you need to fill out some sort of an incident report. What happened? You know, why did it happen? Things like that. This policy may be interrupted by an employee to meet the facility takes care of the patient anytime the patient is injured in the facility. So you got to do the take care of the patient first. Okay? The injury requires a radiograph of the injured finger, sutures, bandages, medication to treat the possible infection, and the care of a physician or the emergency room. These charges may or may not be covered under the patient's insurance. Should you charge, should you bill the patient's insurance for this? I probably wouldn't, okay? Not only did we chop off your finger, now you got a bill for treating it, okay? I think I'd give that one free. I'd treat that one for free. Due to the nature of the injury and because of the comments made by the employee, the patient may feel that it is not his or his, or not his or his insurance company's responsibility to pay for this injury. I would agree. Although the facility may be responsible for costs incurred for the immediate treatment, there's a potential long-term risk which may not be apparent at first glance. What if he chops off his finger and he's a piano player? Career's over. Yeah, what are you going to do? Might be more than just a band-aid that you're paying for. What at first blush appears to be a small incident with relatively few costs has the potential to become a big problem. In addition to the facility being required to pay for the initial treatment, the facility may be expected to take care of additional costs incurred. For example, a patient is unable to work until the stitches are removed. Yeah. What if he's a carpenter? He can't hold a hammer anymore, something like that. The patient is in advertising and has to give up being in the hand lotion commercial. Doesn't have beautiful hands anymore. Missing a finger. Okay? A tendon is injured and reconstructive surgery is required. Surgery left a scar and a plastic surgeon has to be consulted. Oh my God. Don't stick in your face making a lucky tray. Compensating a patient for such loss may be financially very costly. The failure to cooperate may lead to poorer customers and community relations. You think? They might be unhappy. Okay. You have to pay for this yourself. So, some minor thing could turn into a big thing. So, responsibility for loss. Who's responsible for this? It is every facility's responsibility to determine what, if anything, will be done for someone who is injured in the facility. The risk management department is responsible for establishing policies and procedures. So this risk management, they're the ones that set up the rules or the steps. If you do this, do this, do this, somebody needs to do that. That needs to be in place long before the injury ever happens. After developing the procedures, all employees must be trained to follow appropriate actions for each particular type of incident. After this training, it is each employee's responsibility to know what should be said to the injured person regarding responsibility and liability. What should you say?
I don't recall.
You chopped off my finger. I don't recall. I forgot. I don't know.
How did that happen?
I think the less said, the better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't start going into a long-winded discussion because it's all going to come back.
You gotta say, I'm sorry.
I didn't see that.
Was that the bad one?
Well, I think,
no,
I don't think you're hot. You know, I think I could say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, that's my fault. You know.
Well, I can't say that.
Why not?
It's the same, let's hope that's admitting culpability. It's all my fault.
It is your fault.
No, they should have done this.
Yeah? Okay. All right. While his hand was hanging over the table, I just shut the bucky tray with his fingers hanging down. I don't know. I think that might be your fault. Yeah. Might be. Yeah. All right. But you know, I wouldn't go into a long discussion. You know, I would just head into the first aid and let somebody else do the talking. Yeah. All right. So developing policies and procedures. It says first, it's important to identify any situation that could pose a risk to the patient. So what potential risk could there be to a patient? A list of like 1,000 things, you know, could be, you know, harmful to the patient. Second, it's important to develop a method of practice to limit the potential risks to the patient. So if you came up with 100 things that could go wrong and injure this patient, then you should have 100 steps as to how to not let this happen. You know, how do you not chop his finger off with a bucket drink? Well, keep his hands up on the table. Okay. All right. The role of risk management is to review all incidents that pose a risk to patients, visitors, employees, medical staff, volunteers, and students.
Oh.
While at a facility. Oh, what can students do to hurt themselves? Oh my, there's a list of 200 things on that list. Okay, sticking themselves with a needle. That could happen. The overall responsibility for risk management usually rests with one to three staff members in a large facility, but may be part of one person's job responsibility. So I don't, it could be a whole staff of people, you know, dealing. I'm sure if you went to Banner Good Samaritan Hospital, they probably have a whole floor, you know, devoted to risk management. There's a lot of risks there with lots of thousands of employees and thousands of visitors and thousands of students and thousands of people that are there. So, you know, the potential for risk is astronomical. Okay? Regardless of the size of the facility or the size of the risk management team, the most effective risk management system empowers all employees to function as risk managers. So as an employee of this company, you should be kind of looking out. You should be looking for things that could be a risk and maybe say something about it. Okay? While all employees recognize the purpose of risk management principles and the practice of those principles, the number of potential risks to a facility may be reduced. So you could, maybe there's 100 things wrong, and now that we've done all these things, maybe there's only 50 things wrong. You can't solve every problem. You know, things just happen. Okay? It is not enough to simply review occurrences that pose risk. A risk management system must also track these occurrences and look for trends. So if we found that last month 15 people, you know, tripped over the carpet, the rug, when they enter the hospital, there's a rug there. We decide to put a rug there, and every other person that comes in trips over it. Maybe we should get rid of that rug. Maybe. Okay. There's a trend. Okay. Once a trend is defined, a corrective action plan must be designed and implemented. Follow-up, the corrective action, is essential. The evaluation of trends after the correction plan is implemented will either demonstrate the effectiveness of the plan or identify the need for modification. So these accidents happen, you know, lots of people are falling on the wet floor, so maybe we should mop it up faster or something like that. Or lots of people are getting stuck with needles. Nobody's paying any attention, and they're just being very careless with needles, so maybe we have to have a seminar on needle safety and sharps containers and things like that to remind everybody, okay? And then after we did it, then the number of incidences getting stuck with needles went down. So maybe we need to do that every once in a while. So you got to look at trends and accidents and see what you can do to minimize them. But there's always some. Investigation of incidents is to understand the impact that incidents can have on liability for the facility. It's important to establish a method to investigate and evaluate the potential for each incident. The investigation procedure for incidents may vary significantly based on the incident or even the facility's protocol. However, this phase is important and must be completed as systematically as possible. In most cases, the investigation begins at the department's level. The manager or his or her designee reviews the incident report, talks with the staff involved, makes notes as to what action, if any, needs to be taken. The manager then follows the report to the risk management for additional review. The risk manager reviews the report, determines if follow-up action is needed. Follow-up may include continuing the investigation, tracking the incident, contacting other departments for additional information. In some cases, risk management will seek legal advice or advice from the insurance company. So we chopped off his finger in the bucket tray. Do you think we need to talk to the attorney?
I
think we should consult the company attorney. One of the most important points of an investigation is the determination of whether the care rendered to the patient met the standard of care. Were you following all the rules? Were you doing what all the normal x-ray people would do? Or did you do something out of the standard of care? If you did everything in the standard of care, everything should have been okay. Each separate incident may involve the review of the patient's chart, department, records, employee scope of practice. In addition, it must be determined whether the facility's policies and procedures were followed and that all the necessary documentation is available. The review of policies and procedures may include both department-specific and facility-wide manuals. It should be noted that if it appears that the incident may go to litigation, this is going to court, all documents used in the investigation must be preserved. For example, if an incident occurred in 1993, policies and procedures in effect on the date of the incident will be the documents requested for pre-trial preparation. The risk manager in larger facilities is usually responsible for reporting to the Board of Trustees, administrative staff, the safety committee. Otherwise, or obviously, this would be somewhat different in smaller facilities, clinics, or doctor's office. So if it's just someone in the doctor's office, maybe the risk management is that one person. You know, maybe it's the office manager. It's a risk management person. In these settings, the office manager may be appointed to fulfill these duties regardless of the size of the facility. Someone needs to be designated as the risk manager, and the communication of activities needs to be reported to the administration. So I don't know that, and I've worked in lots of smaller offices that I don't know who the risk manager was. I don't think anybody was designated the risk manager, but I think it probably would fall on the office manager. Probably the doctor, if it's a one doctor, you know, he would ultimately be it. Okay? All right, so claims prevention. How can we avoid getting sued? Claims prevention and reducing the amount of claims against the facility are other duties for your risk manager. Although it is the responsibility for the risk manager to identify risks that lead to potential claims, the task of claims reduction is also a component of the duties of the safety committee, administration, and all facility staff. Methods used to heighten staff awareness of safety policies and procedures are extremely effective in claim reduction. Two of the more common methods to increase awareness include additional education. So we're going to have a seminar on needle safety, and we're going to have a seminar on sexual harassment, and we're going to have a seminar on palpation, and we're going to have a seminar on all these things. And stronger communication throughout the facility. We've got to make sure that everybody that went to the seminar, you know, follows the rules that you learned in the seminar. The use of interdisciplinary committees or events may also increase your awareness of what happened in other departments. In addition, adopting the philosophy by all employees that it is easier to prevent incidents than to defend claims may also lead to claim reduction. What's that? An ounce of prevention is
a pound of cure
or something like that? Preventing incidents is a proactive response, whereas the tendency is to be reactive. So don't wait until bad things happen. You know, do things beforehand to mop up the wet floor and put away the electrical cables that are laying across the floor that people are going to trip over and things like that, and then bad things will happen. The concept of being proactive rather than reactive is another challenge for the healthcare professional in the 90s and the 2000s. Okay? And I think that's a problem that I think a lot of people nowadays are reactive. I don't care. Wet floor up. Not my problem. Not my room. Somebody falls on it, it's not my problem. You know, instead of mopping it up, you know, cleaning it up. I think it's the philosophy of it's not my problem. Let somebody else deal with it. I don't want to take any responsibility. I don't want to do anything above and beyond. I'm just going to do the bare minimum and just that. I think that's society. So maybe you should try not to do that. Okay? If you see a problem, even though it doesn't directly affect you, maybe you should notify somebody. You know, here's a problem. Maybe you should do something about it. Yeah. There used to be... I don't think you were, maybe you've been in this room. Have you been in this room when people pound on the vending machine and seen that projector wiggling? Like it's going to fall out of the ceiling? Like it's going like this? I mentioned that. That's going to fall out and hit somebody in the head.
Okay? Really?
So I mentioned this to some people. They said maybe we should move the vending machines over to the other side of the room, over there. and they won't be pounding on them.
Why don't they just anchor them to the wall like they should be anyway, so somebody doesn't get crushed?
Well, maybe they want to move them around. Then you'd have to drill holes in the floor and bolt it down. You know, he's only got a contract for 6 months, and he's going to maybe come take that vending machine out. They're not going to bolt it down. But maybe take the one with the bag of chips that only falls halfway, and they're pounding on it, and they're shaking it to get it. Put that over on where the Coke machine is, and put the Coke machine on this side.
The coffee machine,
and then people would be pounding on it, and that would be dwindling and falling off and hitting somebody in the head. I don't know. To me, that sounded like a great idea. It didn't happen.
We're the only one.
But it sounded like a good idea. Yeah, I mentioned it. So when I have to go to court, and it falls on it, in the head, I'll say, I told him to move the chip machine to the other side.
So did you document when you made that suggestion? Did you document when you made that suggestion?
No, I really didn't. So maybe I should send an email.
Send an email.
Get on that, Larry.
Get on that. You're all notarized students in this dangerous, hostile environment. I bet if 25 people went to the administration and said, people are pounding on the vending machines and shaking that, and I'm afraid the projector's going to fall off and hit me in the head. I bet it's going to move on the wall.
All you do is sign on the vending machine saying, don't pound on.
I bet if you all did it, that machine would be on the other side of the room tomorrow.
How is it in all the other way? This wall will go like this. The wall vending machine will go through the wall. I think that's the wall
you're going to be able to lift.
Yeah, they're
like,
again,
I've seen it kind of look out there. Anyway, you know, just a thought, proactive. Hasn't worked. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Okay? The squeaky wheel gets replaced. I squeaked once.
The one that worked this week?
Don't pound on that machine. I mean, you're in here. This is your pound on the machine. Oh, yeah, the chip only falls halfway down. They're shaking it. You know? All right. Anyway, see what you can do about that. All right. So, communication. We're up to communication. Most healthcare professionals rarely consider the type of risks that are inherent in each facility. Oh, I never thought about that. Okay. One reason that may explain such lack of consideration is that healthcare professionals may not be aware of the outcome of incidents. Oh, people get sued? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. For example, one might know that a patient fell in the department. The employee follows the procedures for reporting the incident, submits the report to the appropriate person. However, there may be no follow-up or feedback to the patient making the original report. I don't know whatever happened. You know, I told them there was a patient fell, and I told somebody, and I never found out what happened. Okay? If communication goes only in one direction, the originator may assume that there were no negative outcome. Well, I guess everything's okay. So, there needs to be some feedback as to, you know, I said this, or I asked this, or requested this, and then never heard anything back. So it would be good to, you know, follow up on things that people know. Yeah, that happened, and it was really bad, and the hospital got sued, and they lost $2 million. You probably hear about that. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, some feedback would be good. I never heard what happened with moving the chip machine. It never came back to me. No, nothing happened. This assumption may lead the staff to believe there are little or no risks in the department or the facility. Be assured that every healthcare facility has a risk potential, and the risks are as many as varied as there are people who work with every day. Each facility must have a mechanism for gathering data to determine what risks pose a liability to that facility. So I'm sure most of you have a job or have had a job somewhere. Didn't you see a lot of risky things, situations, dangerous things that could have been a potential risk for people? Every day?
Every day in Walmart. Oh,
oh Walmart.
Are you kidding me? It's every day.
There's a lot of boxes.
Possibly get on the floor or anything like that. And people look for it. We have, there's COVID, there's Ripple, there's COVID-19, and that means there's a spill and it needs to go clean it up. And the customers know, and they tell where it is, aisle 10, and the customers go for that aisle.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're shopping for a meter. It's like they run there so they can try and slip on it.
We have to call it, we call it overhead because we as a social
code black floor, aisle 6.
And to try to get the picture, the car surface.
I think walkie-talkies works.
So we don't have them as cashiers. Walkie-talkies are maintenance, managers, and the fitting room. And they're the only ones that have the walkie-talkies.
You should be calling the front desk.
How much money are they losing because somebody is chasing through the aisle for them?
Stand around till they call the
people. Yeah, pour some water before it's yellow.
Take it out of it.
All right. So there's one incident or one company. There's a million companies. There's got to be a million risks.
You want to clean up stuff like that. Right. There's some that some people will just walk by and leave it alone. And you really, it's the story.
The employee, the Walmart employees?
Mm-hmm.
What's bad?
Actually, when we check in and blend in, don't step in there. When we punch in to start our shift, there's actually a roll of paper towels by the time clock. And you are supposed to pull paper towels off and put them in your pocket in case you see something like that.
Wow. That's a good idea.
It's a good idea. You know how long that roll of paper towel sits there? We have 700
in cold season if you have a flu,
Maybe they should just have one guy because those only jobs go around and mop and just mop up. Just going around mopping.
We have three buckets.
All right. But anyway, they're risk everywhere. And you have to look at that. Okay, it's got risk analysis. We need to decide what are the risks. Risks can be divided in several categories, including risks to patients, to employees. Maybe it's a risk where there aren't any patients. It's in the break room or it's in the parking lot or something like that. To medical staff, to others, to students. Visitors, oh my God, visitors, I would never let anyone know. They're totally unregulated. They just do whatever they want. The kids are jumping on the seats and cutting it with knives and drawing on it with Sharpies.
You've never worked in a county?
Yeah.
Oh, but I've worked places where that's happened. Yeah. Visitors, there's a risk right there. Just letting somebody in is a risk. So the following list may be used as a guide in determining which of these risks may be present and therefore may affect the facility's liability. So risk related to patients. So this goes into, here's patients, which I guess would be the most important, but maybe not, I don't know. They're important. It says, although more incidents take place in nursing departments, there you go, unsafe nurses, okay? Diagnostic imaging and radiation therapy departments have their fair share. Oh, okay. Sorry, didn't mention that. One major issue to consider is that patients usually will not bring a lawsuit against an institution solely because of an injury. Patients often sue because they were angry at the caregivers and the way they were treated. Okay? So you might do something and injure somebody, but if you're really nice to them and help them out and admit that you're wrong and do everything, they probably aren't going to sue you.
It's fine until they get home and they talk to somebody and they're like, dude, you got a lawsuit. Go see a lawyer.
Yeah, well, you got to make them happy before they go home. Okay. Calling a person honey or sweetie may not be cause for a lawsuit, But if these terms anger the patient and the patient is subsequently injured, there's a greater likelihood the patient's first response will be, I'll sue. So you gotta look at, you know, honey or sweetie, that's kind of almost sexual harassment in some cases. Patronizing. Hey, honey. Hey, hon. Hey, cutie. Hey, sweetie pie.
I hate it when waitresses do that too.
Funny, honey or sweetie? Yeah.
Hun. Yeah.
They're just trying to milk you for the tip.
Don't care. It makes me mad.
Yeah. Well, but don't tip them.
I tell them to stop.
Yeah. I'm not your honey. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, some people like that, I guess. So. Otherwise, yeah. It's not. Okay.
That's in the 40s.
Okay, potential. What? Little age men like the honey sweetie?
Oh, yeah, they love it. It's good stroking.
And you would know this because? You would know this because?
We don't want personal operations.
All right. Okay, potential problems related to patients include the worst case scenario of risk, death. If you kill a patient, that's usually bad. I guess that'd be the worst case scenario. You know what? I don't know about that. I think there could be things worse than that. I mean, if it was somebody, some old guy that's 75 years old, he's on death's door to begin with, and he falls off the table and breaks his hip and has to go and gets pneumonia and dies, I mean, that's bad. But what if you dropped a baby on its head and now it's mentally retarded for the rest of its life? I think that's worse.
Lost potential.
I don't think the worst case scenario is always necessarily death. I think it could be bad. Okay? While not a common occurrence, the patient's killing the patients. Okay, not that common. I guess it's happened. There have been incidents of death related to contrast media. So you inject something into them to do the little IDP, and they have anaphylactic shock and allergic and die. I mean, it happens. It's happened. Okay. Equipment failure. I don't know. The tube falls out of the ceiling on them and crashes on them, or electrocutes them, or something like that.
Is there a vending machine right there?
The vending machine falls on. Yeah, the ones with the Coke where it says don't tip the Coke machine because all the Coke at the top of it. Yeah, that's crushed people before, the Coke machine falling on them. Okay. So, equipment failure, inappropriate use of drugs during a procedure. You give them the wrong drug. The five rights for the right drug, the right time, the right place, the right group, the right, all those five right.
The right way.
The right way, the right route. You could kill them with a drug. Spinal injuries resulting in paralysis can result from inappropriate manipulation of the patient with a spinal injury or from removal of a cervical collar without authorization. So they come in on the backboard, you just pull them off the backboard over on the table, you twist them, and now they're paralyzed. Or you take off the cervical collar and do the obliques.
Go like this.
Oh, that could be bad. Okay. Patient injury may occur when a patient falls due to slips on spilled liquid. There you go. What is it called? Purple. Okay. Trips over haphazardly placed equipment, electric cords, and dropped items. There's a lot of equipment in the imaging department that's all plugged in somewhere. And there's cords all over the place that people could trip over. Yeah? You got to plug in the respirator, the ventilator, the x-ray machine, the injector, the whatever. There's all sorts of things that are plugged in that, you know, here's the thing that keeps the battery charged up for their IV, the little pump thing that keeps the IV going. You got to plug it in somewhere. There's cords all over. People can trip over all those things. Okay? Postural orthostatic hypotension has been associated with patient fall. Remember that? From patient care, sit up too fast, get dizzy, pull right off the side. Yeah, that could happen. Okay. Injuries to a patient may also occur during the course of a procedure. Bowel perforation may occur when the barium enemas are not performed in the prescribed manner. You just pump in too fast or pump in too much or jam that enema tip in there sideways or something like that.
Sphincters on high alert.
It could happen. Okay. You put it in the wrong place. Everybody's done that. Usually the patient will go, I don't think that's the right place. You go, okay.
Sorry.
I couldn't tell because you're 500 hemorrhoids there. All I can see is this cluster of grapes there. It's in there somewhere.
Okay. Use a flashlight.
There's plenty of light. You'll see when you gotta go to that camera.
You're like, oh, hell.
It's gotta be there somewhere.
Stay wide, Joey.
Down there. Just wanted to let you know, I don't think that's the right place. I've heard that before. Okay, sorry.
Wrong door.
So, it could happen.
You go, this is there.
Service entrance is in the back.
I wouldn't say that. But I can remember as a student when I was hand him a tip at the tube of KY jelly and says, it's your turn. And I said, what? I don't remember this in Terry's class. Where does this go?
Where?
You go, okay. It goes in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere.
Okay. Oh my.
You see the 50 hemorrhoids, then you'll just go. They're there. You'll see them in 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
No. You're in the second semester. Oh, that's the third semester. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Okay, and then the always popular hips may be fractured when an unattended patient falls from a table or during the transfer from table to gurney or gurney to table. So getting out of the, sliding them over and the gurney, you didn't lock the wheels and the gurney rolled away and they rolled onto the floor and broke their hip. And, you know, I'm sure that's happened more than once.
Or you lock the bed and it still moved anyway.
Or you lock the wheels and the locks don't work.
And somebody didn't write about the repair. Yeah,
so should have been proactive and fixed the locks. So anyway, risk can happen to patients, and we have to try and not let that happen. All right, let's take a break. Okay. Risks to patients. All right, so you wouldn't want them to fall off the table. That would usually be bad. Okay?
It would?
Some people you feel like pushing off the table, but you're not supposed to do that. All right, high-risk patients pose additional problems because of age. So if you get somebody that's like 99 years old on death's door, there's a low risk. Okay? You want to x-ray them as fast as possible to get them out of the x-ray department.
Before they die.
That's right. Okay. The level of understanding, the level of consciousness, and medication complications may result in various types of injury, although falls are the most common cause of injury associated with these patients. So I would think falls is like a bad number one big thing to be concerned with, that they fall out of the chair, they fall off the table, they just fall down. And if you get old people and they fall and they break a bone and they've got all sorts of other problems. So you don't want to drop the older people with brittle bones. Failure to follow appropriate radiation protection measures, such as not providing shielding, failing to ascertain if there's a possibility of pregnancy, overexposing a patient because of examining the wrong patient. You just x-rayed the wrong person that you weren't supposed to x-ray in the first place, and now you expose them to radiation that you weren't supposed to in the first place. Exposing the incorrect part of their body, it was right arm, it was a left arm, I don't know, one, you know.
It's an arm.
It's an arm, an arm's an arm. You know, it's the wrong
just
part.
Just turn the film around.
Just turn the film around. Get some scissors and cut the little arm out. Just put a left sticker on it. Or repeating films because of poor technique or positioning. So you're so crummy at positioning that you have no positioning skills and you have to x-ray them 9 times, you know, to get a good chest x-ray. Exposed up to 9 times of radiation because you were asleep during positioning class. Ooh. Are all situations that may result in injury to a patient and liability for the healthcare facility. So, gee, there's probably good things to be doing, you know. You should shield them. You should use Alara, as low as reasonably achievable. You should ask, one of those guys in that board gave an age. I think it was like females, I think he said like females, is it 13 to 60?
Oh, yeah.
He said like 13 to 60. Mm-hmm. It's like that's the age that you're supposed to ask females, you know, about is there possibility of pregnancy? And even mentioned about like the date of your menstrual cycle or something like that. That would be like the 10-day rule, using the 10-day rule that you're not supposed to really use, but that's what it is. So you should ask those people, okay? During the, you know, I guess after 60, you're fair game at that time. You don't have to worry about pregnancy after 60.
Yeah. Except for the gal in England that's 63.
There's a few, you know, not that many, but I guess there's, you know, I think 60 is up there. Yeah, 60, I think, it's, you're pretty safe, I think, after 60. I think if you asked them, is there any possibility you're pregnant after 60, they probably would be
laughing at you?
Thrilled. Considered that it would happen.
Oh, you're so cute, young man.
She called money.
But I mean, you're supposed to ask. I mean, that's part of your job.
Yeah.
Okay? You're supposed to make sure you have the right patient. You know, that kind of goes along with the right drug and the right patient. You're supposed to x-ray the right patient. Okay? If you get the wrong patient and you do a whole lumbar spine and an upper GI, and you're not Hazel?
No.
Oops. Okay.
You're not Hazel.
Exposing the wrong part, right hand, left hand, that happens all the time. Repeating films because you just don't understand contrast and density. You just don't get it. It's too dark. I don't know why. Just take it again.
Double
the mass. I'm going to quadruple the mass. People get lighter. I don't know. You know, I'm supposed to know how to do that. Positioning. So there's a lot of things that you could do incorrectly that could be injuring the patient or damaging the patient. Breach of confidentiality injuries have occurred when an AIDS patient's information was discussed out of context or inappropriately or inadvertently offered to individuals not providing care to the patient. So if you go down to the cafeteria or you go in the elevator and you start talking about people and, you know, Mr. Jones has got AIDS. You go in the cafeteria, Mr. Jones has AIDS. Okay? Okay? Clean up the 10. Okay? You're not supposed to do that. Okay? That'd be breaching HIPAA and all sorts of things like that. So that could damage them, their reputation. Other defamation of character claims have arisen when negative or untrue comments about a physician or co-worker were spread throughout a facility. So then you get into libel and slander and things like that. So a lot of ways that you could injure a patient or injure their reputation and things like that. You have to be careful, you know, what you say and who you say this to. You're not supposed to go home and tell everybody who you x-rayed that day. You're going to do it. You can't wait to get home and tell your husband or your wife that you x-rayed some celebrity, you know. And you know that, but you're not supposed to reveal that. You probably saw that George Clooney fell off of his motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
And broke a rib, and his girlfriend broke her foot. Don't you think that x-ray tech went right to tell everybody?
I thought it was the other way around.
No, he broke his rib and she broke her foot. Don't you think they just went right to the website and announced it in their blog page. I just X-rayed George Clooney broke his rib. Don't you? No, you didn't.
They got blogs.
All right, so you're not supposed to do that. But, you know, if George Clooney came in, wouldn't you tell somebody? Honestly.
You would. Okay. You would.
Okay. All right. Risk to employees. Okay. Someday you'll be an employee. It says, although work-related injuries and illnesses make up a wide variety of potential risks to employees, as indicated in studies by OSHA, most injuries and illness to healthcare employees fall into relatively few categories. These risks are usually associated with employee failure to use proper technique or proper devices and should be evaluated as such. So the employee didn't follow some protocol, and that's why they got hurt. One method of gathering information on work-related employee injuries and illnesses would be to study the OSHA 200 log. This is a report that must be posted at work at the work site annually during the month of February. So during next February, you can go look for that log somewhere and see who got injured over the past year. The risk manager, employee, health nurse, or human resources department are usually responsible for gathering data and maintaining the reports. The following areas are most often associated with risk potential for employees. Employee injuries. Injury, including back injury. Okay? You're lifting, you're twisting, you're lifting the patient. You can injure your back. Some people in here eventually someday will injure your back because you're lifting some patient off the table, onto the table, out of the chair, whatever, and they grab you and grab on your neck and hang on your neck, and now you've got a bad neck. It happens, okay? Stay away from those people, okay? Extremity injury. Don't let them grab on your head, okay? Extremity injury, such as strains and sprains, so you could strain your knee or something like that, sprain your ankle, something like that, you could fall down. Needle sticks and sharps, okay, so needle sticks and little scalpel blades and things like that that are sharp. With exposure to illnesses such as hepatitis and HIV, so if you get stuck with a needle that has the nasty blood on it, now maybe you can catch hepatitis.
You too can be HIV positive.
You too can be HIV positive. As well as multiple chemical sensitivity syndromes. Whoa, there must be a lot of chemical sensitivity syndromes. I have...
That would be a latex allergy or something like
I have
that.
I have fixer syndrome. I have developer syndrome. I have glutaraldehyde syndrome. I got phenidone syndrome. I'm sure there must be syndromes. More commonly known as dark room disease. Oh, my God. Don't go in there. If at all possible, get somebody else to go develop the films. You could probably get out of it. I have glutaraldehyde syndrome. I'm not allowed to go near 50 feet from a processor. So somebody else would have to do it for me. And that'd be bad. You might try that one. I break out into hives when I'm near glutaraldehyde. Each facility must determine the appropriateness of the list and should add or change categories as indicated by occurrence report. So there's lots of things that you could be injured by if you're an employee. Medical staff risks and issues. It says medical staff are also at risk when involved in the delivery of health care services in cases where, when the physician is not an employee of the facility, the risk may be attributed to activities on site involvement in the overall process of patient care. The physician may be at risk from the actions of others and may be susceptible to injury or illnesses as the employees. When the physician has an ownership interest in the facility, the risk may be multiplied since the physician is the employer as well as the caregiver. So if you have some radiologist that owns the imaging center, then he could be an employee and be at risk too. Medical staff issues are usually handled through a committee process or by a quality management department. However, the risk management may serve as a liaison between the employees and the medical staff through the incident reporting system. Following risk issues related to the medical staff are based on professional publications from a variety of sources should not be used as absolute guides. Each facility should determine the appropriateness of the categories based on activities and the risks associated with the practice and the range of services offered. the greatest physician risks are associated with incorrect diagnosis related to the quality of radiographs. So if you're a radiologist and you read the film wrong, and you said it was broken when it wasn't, or you said it wasn't when it was, you're at risk for being sued for giving a bad diagnosis. You didn't read the film right, if you're a radiologist. Loss of radiographs. Okay? If you get a subpoena that says you need to produce these films on June 9th and bring them and you can't find them because you lost them because somebody misfiled them or you gave them to the patient, didn't have to sign a release, and they didn't get back. Where are the films? You got to find them. It's like you lost your file. You can't do that. Okay? That'd be bad. And failure to maintain original radiographs. And injuries from needle sticks and sharps, and slips and falls and trips are all, you know, doctors' liabilities where they could get injured. So the greatest physician risks associated with incorrect diagnosis related to quality of radiographs. Okay. So you'll hear that sometimes, or you'll read that in the report where films are undiagnostic and I'm unable to give a diagnosis on these films. They're black, they're white, they're blurry. Okay? I can't say. I don't know whether it's broken or not. They'll say that.
So it's the Radtex problem.
You know, you gave me films that were undiagnostic. I can't write a report. They're waiting for the report. It's your fault. I would imagine after you do that a certain amount of times, you won't work there anymore because you're producing undiagnostic films. They'll say that. I've read that in reports. Films are not diagnostic. So you need to make sure they're diagnostic. Okay, you're fired. Okay, all right. So equipment risks and issues. So here's all this equipment, all these machines and wires and things that you're going to have to deal with. Risks and safety issues related to equipment are addressed by the State Medical Devices Act of 1990, which is covered in another chapter in this text. All healthcare employees should have a basic understanding of the components of this law. Equipment that malfunctions must be taken out of service immediately, and all packaging should be secure so that the investigating team has the information necessary to complete the investigation. Although equipment malfunction may not be common, it does occur. User errors, on the other hand, are generally more common and may not always be reported. Therefore, there may be no investigative procedures implemented and no corrective measures taken. It's important to understand that all employees must be comfortable and proficient with equipment as well as the procedures that they perform. So if some piece of equipment is broken or wires are coming out of it or sparks are shooting out of it or smoke is coming out of it, then you should tell someone and turn it off and have somebody come fix it. Okay? You can't just, it's not smoking that much. I've seen bigger sparks. It'll probably be all right. All right, so you should tell someone. So, employee responsibility for risk management says, while each facility needs an individual who has the authority and the responsibility to manage risk, it's essentially each employee also be involved in the process. So you're all involved in risk management. The employee's role in risk management is to follow the department and facility policies and procedures, be aware of safety issues, report hazardous conditions. If an employee sees an accident, he or she should assess the situation, call for assistance, follow the policies and procedures of the facility, and always use correct sense. Use common sense. Sometimes people don't do that. All those people that were down there before the MRTB board, I don't think he used common sense. Use common sense. You send in your application and renew your license on time. Get a license. We wouldn't have them storing tons of marijuana. Get caught. Use common sense. All right. Until or unless an employee is involved in an investigation or legal action, potential risk may seem to be separate from his or her job duties. That's never going to really happen. That's why I want you to go to the field trip. So you can see that bad things happen. People do stupid things. People get caught. People lose their license. You got to behave. You can get in trouble. You could go to prison. Yes. You don't want to do that. That would be bad. We'll come and visit you. Okay. Probably not. So, patient perceptions of radiation health care, public concerns. Patient perceptions of radiation and or healthcare in general are often related to what they read or what they hear. The general public knows nothing about radiation and radiation safety and radiation protection. What is radiation? Where is radiation? What is radiation? They don't know. They don't know anything. Okay. While it's important to remember that you can't believe everything you read, most people tend to believe the news, especially if the news is bad or if the person experiences something similar. Recent headlines have included stories on radiation experiments from the 40s and the 50s that are affecting the 90s and that the government knew about the tests. In the past, news headlines had covered reports or lawsuits and settlements given for various incidents in healthcare settings. All concerns that affect the public have an impact on the healthcare profession. Often, the patient questions the safety of the examination or the safety of radiation. These questions must be addressed with accurate current information to reduce the patient's anxieties. What are you going to tell them when they say, how much radiation is this?
It's within the federal guidelines for patient safety.
Oh, that's reassuring. Mm-hmm. What's that? Don't worry about it. It's not much. Don't worry about it.
Way less than CT. Just as long as you never get a CAT scan, you'll be fine.
I should never. She said I should never get a CAT scan, and they ordered one on me. What should I do?
Don't.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, people are going to ask you this. How much radiation is there?
Really?
Yeah. Is this a lot? How much is this?
Not as much as flying to New York and back.
You got to have some little answer for them to tell them something, or it looks like you're hiding something. Is it a lot of radiation? It's deadly radiation. I would leave the hospital now.
Here's a foil hat for you to take with you.
Yes. I would wear this lint apron all day. Yeah. You got to tell them something. They're going to ask you questions. What are you going to tell them?
What do you tell them?
I just told them that it's a minimal amount and that I wouldn't worry about it. End of discussion.
That was satisfying.
Most people don't. Oh, okay. That's all they want to hear. You know, they don't want to hear, it's 2,000 milliredkins, which is ionizing your electrons.
Just tell them.
I would just say the film is high-speed film and high-speed screens, and we use a very minimal amount. And you could say that it's like less than making a trip to fly to New York or something like that. Because that's supposedly like the same as a chest x-ray. It's like a 3-hour flight at like 30,000 feet. It's the same as like a chest x-ray. So if you've been flying a lot, boy, this is nothing.
Yeah. You already have a going person.
And we're using lead, we're shielding you and using lead aprons and we're collimating, so the beam is very small and it's for a very short time. So it really is a very, very small amount of radiation that you're getting exposed to.
So it's like sunbathing for 10 minutes.
Yes, something like that. Okay. I don't think people really want to hear about milligrams. They don't know what a milligram is. That's just probably scary. Okay. So, but people are going to ask you, how much radiation is this? They see it on the news or something like that. The next day, they all want to know. I have to tell them something. Otherwise, it looks like it's worse if you're trying to hide it. Oh, it's a huge amount. You'll probably die. You don't want to tell them that. It's not true. You got to tell them something. All right. So there are a lot of risks. And I think you have to be proactive and try to avoid them. Do everything you can to avoid them. Things are going to happen. People are going to fall down. People are going to fall down the steps. Old people are going to faint, fall down. It just happens. People are going to get stuck with needles. I bet before you get done with your year of externship, one of you will get stuck with a needle.
Or you did it.
Oh, okay. Too late.
My last day of clinical.
It's easy to do. I mean, You think, oh, that's stupid. How could you get stuck with a needle? Yeah. You're holding a needle and somebody walks up behind you and bumps into you. Oh, sorry. I stuck myself with a needle because you're bumping into me. Well, you were palpating the Simpson's pubis.
Thank God you hit your hand and not that.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. That would have been a real loss.
It happens. Things happen, okay? So you just got to be careful. X-ray the right person. Do all the things you're supposed to do. Don't get into trouble. Okay? I would think that most of you will never get sued. Okay? But some of you might. Some of you were just not that careful.
Shit magic. It's called shit magic. Everything happens.
Sometimes it happens. All right, so anyway, there's a lot of risks. Be careful. All right, I gave you a little picture. Everything's a risk. You know, okay? All right. I don't know. Just keep it on the internet. Okay. All right. So risk management. Here's some other little things to think about with risk management. Because how can you minimize risk? Okay. So one would be thoroughly documenting the information. In their chart, writing down everything you're supposed to write down, the correct way that you're supposed to write it down. Write down that you did this or that you did that so that you can remember everything that you're doing in the patient's chart. It's documenting things. Okay? You're supposed to sign things. Okay? Informed consent has been obtained. Okay? If you're going to do some hazardous procedure to someone, you're going to stick needles into them and inject contrast into their brain, and there's a possibility that they might get a reaction to this, you got to explain all those risks to them and get them to sign a informed consent saying that they're giving you permission to do this to them. If you don't get that, if that informed consent, it never got signed, uh-oh, and then you did this procedure to them and bad things happened and you never explained to them that bad things could happen, ooh, that'd be bad for you. Okay? You got to make sure that gets signed, okay, the informed consent. If you all want to be MRI techs and CT techs and all those things, they're all injecting things into people. All these studies have some kind of contrast media. You're going to do IVPs. You're going to put barium into people and things like that. You got to make sure that they sign that informed consent. Okay? Maintaining patient confidentiality. You can't go down and talk about them in the cafeteria. You got to remember about confidential communications and privileged communications and things like that. Because if you don't, you reveal, that you x-rayed George Clooney and they get a fractured rib. You call up the National Enquirer and they pay you $10,000.
Here's your rib x-ray.
If you stole the x-ray and then scanned it and then sent it, don't you think they pay big money for that?
George Clooney has great ribs.
I would have done that by now. But don't you think they would... Somebody, I'm surprised somebody hasn't done it.
Have you checked YouTube?
Yeah.
No, I haven't checked it.
Yeah, have you checked Google or something?
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably there somewhere. Yeah. Remember the guy that had the shot the nails into his head?
Yeah.
X-ray, went to the dentist, he had a nail gun. There was x-rays. Where did they get the x-rays? Who took the x-rays and made copies of them and put them on the internet? Whatever.
Yeah. The guy probably sold it himself.
Maybe
you
did. You
can sell your own.
You're not supposed to. It's supposed to be secret. You're not supposed to broadcast it over the universe.
Yeah. Maybe you wanted somebody else to learn from the stupidity.
Maybe. But anyway, maintaining confidentiality. You're supposed to do that. Practice radiation protection. All that Alara shielding. Is there a chance you could be pregnant? And all that good stuff. Collimating. Maintaining a safe environment for patients and employees. So making sure you wipe up the wet floor and move the electrical wires out of the way and make sure the lights work and things like that. Identifying, analyzing, and evaluation. These are ways to use risk management. You can identify the problem. If you find the problem, you can analyze the problem, and then you can evaluate as to what are you supposed to do to correct the problem. Okay. Maintain high quality patient care. Yeah, if you're doing that, then risk would be less. Conserve the facility's financial resources, saving the hospital money. Okay? if you don't get sued, if you get sued and then they have to pay $5 million because you dropped the baby, there's you're costing the facility financial loss. You know, they're not happy about that. So you want to do that. That was usually the lowest priority of things for me, was worrying about Banner Healthcare saving money. Okay? Try and use as few Band-Aids as possible.
I am.
Yeah. Use the smallest film possible so you can save them money. Come on. They make a lot of money. All right. I'm not getting paid that much. So, an effective risk management program has three priority goals: the elimination of the causes of loss experienced by the hospital's patients, employees, and visitors. So, eliminate those bad things. Reduction in the operation and financial effects of unavoidable losses. So, save the hospital money. Okay. And coverage of inevitable costs. Coverage of inevitable losses at the lowest cost. So, what could we do? What would be the cheapest way that we could avoid this risk? You know, we should get the cheapest mop to wipe up the wet floor, or something. Or get the cheapest paper towels, you know, to wipe up the wet floor.
So you can use them.
I was never that concerned with loss, financial loss for the institution. But you should be.
Well, I should be.
There's a whole department for that under supply. Supply management, risk, you know, loss.
Well, you should use as few paper towels as possible.
They do that.
You shouldn't waste them.
Job.
You should only use one pencil, not two. All right, so here is the last thing, was this little imaging scenario that I gave you. Here's an example of some situation. So let's read this, and then you can decide what you should do. It says, a young woman in her 6-month of pregnancy arrives in the imaging trauma center after being involved in a head-on collision. Fortunately, her seatbelt and airbag kept her from contact with the windshield. But they cause severe bruising. Have you ever seen people that, like, the airbag's gone on?
Yeah, they're like, they get brush burns.
They're burned and all. I've seen people that have broken their forearms.
Yeah.
Boom! It's like a bomb going off in your face. It burns all over. But she did hit the windshield. Okay. So, she has severe bruising. She's having chest pain and has not felt the baby move since the accident. Uh-oh. She is frantic with fear. I think my baby has died. Okay? She lies in the imaging suite. She overhears someone talking from the adjoining room. So she's in X-ray room 1, and here's X-ray room 2. And over in X-ray room 2, they're talking about, she hears partial senses, what's its phrases as crushing injury, fetal death, oxygen deprivation, and internal injuries. They must be talking about me. Maybe
gotta
not.
Be. Gotta be.
Must be talking about me, because I'm the most important person. The imaging professional caring for her rushes to close the door. That's a little bit suspicious. Don't listen to anything they say. They're not talking about you. But not before the young woman becomes hysterical. Oh my God, they must be talking about me. She demands an explanation from the radiographer. What's going on? How's my baby? I heard about fetal death. The imaging professional is at a loss for words. What are you going to say? You're at a loss for words. Angry to be placed in this situation by his peers, angry at the other stupid X-ray people in the other room talking about it, okay, and becoming very concerned about the patient's welfare. The woman goes into premature labor, and the baby spends months in the ICU. The mother also spends weeks in the hospital. A medical malpractice lawsuit charging negligence and breach of confidentiality is later filed. Uh-oh. How did unethical behavior turn into a lawsuit? What went wrong?
They're laughing in the hallway.
Maybe they weren't even talking about her. But you have to realize some X-ray rooms, you've probably been in some X-ray rooms, where there's an X-ray room here, and there's a control panel And there's another x-ray room there, and it's just open. Mm-hmm. And the person in this room can hear everything the person in this room is saying. You got to be careful what you talk about.
Yeah, you got to go to the lounge and talk.
You got to go to the lounge and talk. Don't talk where people can hear things. Okay?
Well, what if you're talking to, like, let's say the radiologist is giving his, or somebody's telling a patient what's actually happening to them, or playing a family member what's happening to somebody else, somebody overhears.
It could happen.
No.
It could happen. Okay? And you can't whisper all day long, worrying that somebody might hear something.
Especially if patients who might be even hard of hearing.
Because you might have a family.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you're, if you had two family members who are both being x-rayed at the same time in adjoining rooms, that would be a time to maybe whisper or not be loud, you know, saying, "Oh my God, that bone's broken," or something. Yeah, it would be like maybe not the best time to say it. Maybe you should not even say that. You should just do the procedure, take the films, go to the other little room where the x-rays are hung up, and then you could say, "Oh my God, they're both." But not where people could hear you. Okay. So you have to think about things like that. How would problem-solving models aid the resolution of this scenario? So this happened, so how can we make sure this doesn't happen again? We're going to have a meeting in the x-ray department because we just got sued. What can we do to make sure this doesn't happen again? Make sure doors are shut.
Check the room before talking.
Nobody's over there. Okay, now we can talk. Okay? You know, if there's people in the other room, maybe you should discuss it somewhere other than in the room where patients could hear. You don't want to talk about patients where patients could hear you. Because, I mean, when you're in an x-ray room and you're laying on the table and you're just laying there, you have nothing to do but just listen. You're just listening to everything that they say. Okay? You have nothing to do. I can remember a time when I worked in this chiropractic office, and I won't say where, it didn't matter. And this another doctor was treating a woman.
Were you a chiropractor at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I still am. But she was treating this woman, and this woman had a baby that she just brought with her, was sitting in the little chair. And it was just sitting on the floor next to them. This baby, I saw this baby. It was like the 20-pound, 6-month-old baby. It was the fattest baby I've ever seen. This huge baby. And as this other lady was treating the mother, she said she looked down, and this huge baby had a cockroach in its mouth. With half of the cockroach was in its mouth. And she didn't say, "Oh my God, your baby's eating a cockroach." She just calmly reached out. And never said anything about it. No, the mom was laying on the table with her face down, and she couldn't see anything. She never knew that her gigantic So this image to me was funny. This huge fat baby eating another cockroach. You know, how much did it eat over? But then she looked down in the cockroach, and little legs were like this. But she just said, "This baby's eating another cockroach." Okay, she didn't say that.
She just come in with her. Or your facility was that bad?
Well, they need, it was during the summer or whatever, where there's a lot of cockroaches around, whatever. They needed to call a discriminator. But it was, to me, what she said was that baby. And the next time the baby came, I said, I got to see this baby. Every time I saw that baby, I would just be laughing. But you wouldn't want to say, oh my God, there's cockroaches everywhere. I can make shitty one.
As it walks across the back of the seat while I wait in the waiting room.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's so fat. He's seeing a lot of cockroaches. All right, so you shouldn't say things. You have to be careful what you say. Okay, what legal issues may arise during this lawsuit of the mother suing because she didn't... What legal issues? What is this?
I'm thinking emotional distress.
Emotional distress? Well, I think it's the confidentiality that, you know, somebody was talking about someone and she heard, and that may have not even been about her, or maybe it has.
Okay, could you go the opposite way and have them say, well, she was already frantic with fear because the baby had moved. How do they know it was due to what she was hearing? How did they put her in a premature labor and not that she was already in fear from the accident?
The premature labor could have been the catalyst of the accident.
Exactly.
It doesn't say that she won. Or that, you know, but it's saying this is just, anybody can sue anybody for anything.
Right, could that have been a legal issue that came up in the
I'm sure that could have been the part of the defense, was, you know, who they were talking about wasn't even your child. Had nothing to do with you.
I don't remember 6 years ago. You were already frantic with fear from the accident.
Maybe you're just hysterical.
Yeah, I don't see how negligence fits in.
I don't see that they were negligent.
Unless they specifically said, you know, baby Gonzalez, you know, is, you know, or Mary Jones, who's next door, who's pregnant, has a, you know, unless they specifically were talking specifically about her, named her. I don't think you couldn't win that.
But I still don't see how negligence fits in.
It's not negligence care. It's just,
well, just that you're...
Breach of confidentiality.
You can't talk about patients. Sometimes they hear things, they hear what they want to hear. So I don't think you would win, okay? All right, so what standards of care are violated? What did you do that you shouldn't have done? What did someone do? Talking about patients when you should. Okay. All right, so you just got to think about things like that. When you're out there in the world, when you're x-raying people and talking about people, you just got to be careful that people are listening to what you're saying. Okay. You don't want to put the chest film up where they can hear you but not see you and say, oh my God, it's a tumor.
Okay.
Yeah, in the chest x-ray, the one I just took, in room 2. Okay. You wouldn't want to say that, because people can hear it. You got nothing else to do but just sit and listen. All right, so that's it.
That will prevent a falling.